Next case is Innovative Global Systems v. Motive Technologies, 2021-2289. Mr. Edwards, we're ready when you are.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. The Board committed two errors in its final written decision that we want to talk about today. First, the Board committed reversible error when it found that Skeen discloses the claimed compliance signal found in claim elements 1 and 14D of the 384 patent. Second, the Board also erred when it found that a skilled artisan would have been motivated to combine Skeen and Warkentin to render the claimed invention obvious. I want to turn first to the discussion of the reversible error, that is, that Skeen discloses the claimed compliance signal. Skeen's indicator lights capable only of signaling the presence of communication between a recorder or the Skeen device and the engine data bus. That's fundamentally different from the compliance signal disclosed in the 384 patent in two ways. Most fundamentally, it does not indicate that the device is recording the data needed to generate a compliant hours of service log or to check a driver's compliance with the hours of service regulations. And perhaps more importantly, it does not indicate that the device is functioning to record all of the specific data that's needed to generate a compliant hours of service log.
So it's not a 102 reference.
That's correct.
We're talking about obviousness here.
That's correct. It is a 102 reference. I apologize.
Skeen itself has its characterization of the indicator light is pretty broad. It says it can perform any number of selected functions. Why isn't that enough to indicate that Skeen is not limited to a very narrow set of functions?
So Skeen itself does say that, but the evidence presented to the Board and the way that the case was argued by Keep Trucking or by Motive Technologies in its petition limits Skeen. And if you look at page 137 through 139 of the appendix, what you see is that the case is framed such that Skeen's ability to indicate the presence of communication is the sole reference relied upon to generate the claimed compliance signal. So it's easy to understand, it's easiest, I think, to understand this problem using a hypothetical. So if you assume that there's a data bus, there's a recorder attached to a data bus that's recording 10 distinct elements that are needed to generate a compliant hours of service log. Among them would be vehicle speed. If vehicle speed is no longer being recorded, then the compliance signal is going to indicate to the driver that he is out of compliance, that the recorder is no longer functioning to record all of the data needed to generate a compliant hours of service log. Skeen, on the other hand, is going to do something different. It's not going to tell the driver anything because the communication is still there. There's still communication and data being transmitted across the data bus. You can take that a step further and, you know, if the recorder stops recording everything but vehicle speed, in that instance, the same result would ensue where Skeen is going to indicate there's the presence of communication between the data bus and the recorder, but the compliance signal is going to signal to the driver that he's out of compliance with transportation regulations.
It just seems to me, and again, picking up on Judge Lurie's allusion to anticipation, it seems to me that's an argument that might well have legs if this were purely an anticipation case, but Skeen stands for, it seems to me, more than just the specific, or at least for purpose of obviousness, it can be understood to stand for something other than the specific utility that is called out in the Skeen embodiments, right? I'm having a hard time seeing why one could not say, okay, given Skeen saying that you've got an indicator light that can be used for multiple purposes, that doesn't lead one down the path of saying, well, we can use it to indicate the recording is going on. That's one of the purposes that it could serve. That doesn't seem to me to be a paradigm-breaking type of change.
Again, Your Honor, I think it's because of the way that Motive presented this in its petition. It focused exclusively on the communicative aspect of Skeen. It never cited that second clause, Skeen's ability to do other functions. There's no evidence in the record. There's no testimony from Motive's expert, Mr. Andrews, that would indicate what those other selected functions could be. If the court would look at page 270 of the appendix, paragraph 149 of Mr. Andrews' declaration, that's the exclusive source of the board's finding that Skene discloses the claim compliance signal. And there, the sole focus of Mr. Andrews' testimony, of his expert opinion, is that communication means recording. There are two sentences, actually, in paragraph 149. The first we don't take issue with, and that is that if there is no communication, there is no recording. The way that we understand this, communication is the basic function, and then you have the issue of recording layered on top of that, and then recording compliance data, which is what the 384 patent does, at the very top of the pyramid, so to speak. So Skene is indicating communication between the data bus of the vehicle and the recording device, but the 384's compliance signal is indicating that the device is recording every piece of data that's needed to comply with a regulation, whatever that might be. To use Keep Truckin's reference, it would be the transportation regulations, which include things like vehicle speed and time driving and time idling. And so, again, if vehicle speed stops being recorded, but everything else is being recorded, or still even more, everything else is being communicated across the data bus, even if there's a recorder malfunction, Skene is going to indicate the presence of communication, whereas the 384 patent is going to indicate that the recorder has stopped working for a specific purpose. Again, going back to Mr. Andrews' opinion, in the second sentence of paragraph 149, that's kind of the exclusive basis for this, for the board's erroneous conflation of recording and communication, and that is, if the light is on, I would understand it to be communicating, and therefore recording. That's not substantial evidence to support the board's decision. He fails to connect that to anything in his experience. He fails to connect it to anything in the Skene patent or anything else in the record to indicate that communication and recording are the same thing. So Mr. Andrews has just an ipsa dixit opinion that under this court's decision in TQ Delta is not sufficient to constitute substantial evidence of record and therefore cannot support the board's final written decision. I want to turn to the second issue, and that is the motivation to combine issue. The board applied this general motivation to combine analysis. It concluded that because Workington specifically referenced the desirability of a connection with the vehicle's data bus, that Skene would, of course, be a desirable combination. But in so doing, the board failed to consider the specific proposed combination and instead relied on a more general theory of a motivation to combine. Patent owner's undisputed testimony before the board from its experts, Mr. Brown and Mr. Smith, is that this would not have been a desirable combination. And that is a critical piece of the motivation to combine analysis. And so the board's failure to consider patent owner's evidence of a motivation to combine, or lack thereof, given the lack of the lack of desirability of the proposed combination, is sufficient grounds to reverse the board's final written to remand the board's final written decision for additional findings of fact, at a minimum. The court has no further questions.
We will save your time, Mr. Edwards, Mr. Lindenbaum.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is David Lindenbaum for Appellee Motive Technologies, Inc., formerly known as Keep Truckin', Inc. May it please the Court. This appeal concerns two findings of the Board, both of which are supported by substantial evidence. First is the Board's finding that the light on Skene's recorder indicates the recorder is functioning to record. Now, the issue is not whether the recorder is recording. The issue is whether or not the light indicates the recorder is functioning to record. It's undisputed that Skene's device is a recorder. Appellant's brief at 3, 6, and 14 in reply refer to the device as a recorder or a recording device. There's no dispute that the indicator light at least indicates the presence of communication. And in the combination proposed by Motive, the data recorded needs to be the data that would be transmitted to Workington to create the hours of service log. These facts, in view of Motive's expert opinion, show a person of skill in the art would understand that Skeen's light indicates whether the recorder is functioning to record. IGS offered no rebuttal expert opinion on this issue, and so the PTAB properly found that there is substantial evidence to find that Skeen's light indicates that the recorder is functioning to record. Now, on appeal, IGS seeks a new construction for the term functioning to record as recording, as you just heard opposing counsel state. But that construction is not properly before you. Neither party asked the board to construe the term functioning to record. IGS's response to the petition in the IPR didn't even address really that term at all. They addressed whether or not the data was the type of data that would be recorded as needed for an hours of service log. The board did not construe the term functioning to record, so there was no construction to appeal. And IGS doesn't even propose a construction in its appeal brief. We see for the first time ever in their reply a new proposed construction of functioning to record as recording, complete with new extrinsic evidence, which...
So your view of what functioning to record means, if it doesn't mean recording, is what? That the recording function of the machine has not been disabled or broken, that even though it may not be recording at the moment. Is that a fair characterization of what your position on functioning to record is?
Almost, right. I'd like to offer maybe a different hypothetical than appellant offered, which is that if you think of a cell phone and you see those signal bars on your phone, it indicates a number of things, right? It indicates at least that the phone is on, that it's connected to the network, that it's communicating with the network, and that it's functioning to receive a call. And in that regard, Skeen is very similar. The light indicates that the device is on, the recorder is on, that it's connected to the vehicle, that it's communicating with the vehicle, and that it's functioning to record the data that's communicated.
Even though it may not at that moment be actually recording.
Correct, Your Honor.
The truck may be stopped at a rest stop or something, and the light is still on because as soon as the truck starts on, it starts recording.
Correct, Your Honor. And that a driver would feel confident that the data that's needed is being recorded because that light is on and it's indicating that the recorder is functioning. I also noticed that...
Functional, I guess. It's
right.
It's not functioning in the sense that it is operating.
Correct, Your Honor. You're right. And I also note that IDS's construction reads the term functioning out of the claim. They just want to replace functioning to record with just recording. And in addition to their new evidence, which also is, it's from the wrong time period. If you consider it, this new extrinsic evidence is from 2022 instead of 2005. And it relates to the terms to function and function instead of functioning to do some verb. I also note that opposing counsel mentioned a number of times, and they mentioned this issue of specific data that needs to be recorded, Your Honor. First of all, the board addressed this issue and found that in the combination that is proposed for the obviousness analysis, where you're combining Skeen with Workington, you would necessarily have the recorder record the data that would be needed and requested by Workington to create the hours of service log. And the board, and that was never contradicted by IGS. The board also noted that in Skeen itself, it talks about that the versatility of the technology allows the particular vehicle data monitor to be selected. Also, we note, Your Honor, that in the claim language itself, it talks about the data is comprising. And so there is no set of data that's required by the claim, Your Honor. It says, the vehicle data monitored comprises, and then there's a list of data. And then in the compliance signal limitation, it never says all the data needed or the data needed. It just says data needed for the hours of service log. And so there's nothing in the claim itself, even, Your Honor, that requires any specific set of data to be recorded by the recorder. If no other questions about the first issue, Your Honor, I'd like to move on to the second issue. But about motivation to combine, which is also supported by substantial evidence. The board found motivation to combine here, Your Honors, based on three independent, undisputed grounds. The first was to improve the reliability of the generated hours of service log. In fact, appellant admits that could be a correct finding at page 29 of its reply. Another grounds for motivation combined was that a person of skill in the art would be motivated based on the teachings and suggestions and motivations in the art itself, Your Honor. Skeen has disclosed a recorder that records data from a vehicle and then transmits it to a portable device. Workington discloses a portable device that takes data from a vehicle to generate an hours of service log. So the two essentially go hand in glove. And finally, the board found that the combination of references is an arrangement of known elements performing the same functions as disclosed in the references. Appellant argues that the board did not address their expert opinions. However, the board did, in fact, cite to their expert declarations, at least at Appendix 17 and 37, and address the opinions in those declarations. For example, IGS's experts assume that the field of art is limited to compliance with U.S. Federal Department of Transportation regulations. The board considered this assumption and found that is directly contrary to what the 384 patent teaches. That's at Appendix 17, and that finding was never challenged by IGS. IGS experts also opine that Skeen would not be considered because it is not directed to heavy trucks. That opinion contradicts the undisputed finding that Skeen is analogous art and therefore could be considered by a person of skill in the art. Appellant cites the Winner versus Wang case, but that case doesn't hold, as appellant argues, that analogous art could be entirely disregarded if some aspect of the opinion is undesirable under EWP, which the board cites. It explains that a reference must be considered for everything it teaches. And the board found that, in fact, Skeen teaches that onboard recorders were aware, you know, known to persons of skill in the art to be used to obtain vehicle data and generate records of vehicle and driver operation. And that's specifically what is being cited here in the 103 analysis. And patent owner does not even dispute that fact. Finally, appellant argues that their opinions were unrebutted, but in fact they are contradicted by the record, Your Honor. For example, they claim that the field here is just limited to the U.S. Department of Transportation regulations, which only apply to passenger vehicles. That's just wrong. Heavy trucks. That's wrong. They also apply to passenger vehicles, which was ultimately admitted by IGS and their experts on cross. And that can be found at APPX 2212 and APPX 2384. In fact, we submitted evidence of a major manufacturer, Chevrolet, who was manufacturing a passenger van in 2005 in the relevant time period that would have been subject to these regulations that IGS claims are limited to heavy trucks. And
commercial vehicles in general, I take it.
In fact, yes, the regulations define it as commercial motor vehicles, but the definition of commercial motor vehicles is not limited to heavy trucks, as appellant argues, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. And also, the 384 patent is not even limited to the U.S. Federal Department of Transportation regulations generally. It also discusses that the inventions therein can be used for local regulations or foreign regulations, like in Mexico and Canada. IGS ignores all this evidence, and so therefore it has no grounds on which to state that there is no substantial evidence here to support the board's decision. I have nothing further,
Your Honor. If you have nothing else, then we will be happy with that. And Mr. Edwards has a little rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I've got 3 points on rebuttal. The first is about the difference between data collection and signaling compliance. I feel like Mr. Lindenbaum and I are talking past each other. I feel like our briefs talk past each other, and so I want to drill in on that point. Claim element 1D recites that a compliance signal emitted by a transmitter and indicating whether the onboard recorder is functioning to record vehicle operation data needed to generate the driver's hours of service log. We're not disputing the element of 1C that maybe Skeen and Workington in combination would record hours of service data. What we're saying is this indicator light, its specific function is to tell the driver that it is recording every single piece of data that is necessary to generate that hours of service log, whatever that may be, whether that may be compliance with state regulation, federal regulation, local regulation. In the context of federal regulations, which is what we've talked about the most here, if the recorder is not recording a specific piece of data required to comply with 395.8D, for example, engine speed or vehicle, or engine RPMs or vehicle speed, the compliance signal is going to alert the driver to the out of compliance condition. Skeen's not going to do that. I think the hypothetical my friend on the other side proposed is illustrative of that. Skeen has that indicator light, and there's no testimony, there's no evidence that it can be used for any purpose other than signaling communication. In the context of a cell phone, he separated out the ability to communicate and the ability to receive a call, that it's communicating with the cellular network on the one hand and then the ability to receive a call on the other. Here, the express and only function of Skeen's indicator light is signaling the presence of communication. This isn't a new claim construction argument. We did not belatedly raise it. If you look at appendix page 47 through 49, that's the board's final written decision, where the board itself uses the plain and ordinary meaning of functioning to record, which is record. I would submit, even though the dictionaries are from after the time of the claimed invention, I would submit the definition of the verb to function probably has not changed that much in the last...
Since Boswell, probably.
I think that's probably right. Judge Bryson, I want to address something that you and I were talking about. I don't think I did a very good job of it earlier, and it relates back to Skeen's second clause saying it could adapt other functions. There are potentially other functions. Motive didn't make a obvious to modify argument. They never said that that a skilled artisan would have used any of these other functions and that it would have been obvious to change it in light of the disclosures of the transportation regulation or Skeen. The only thing relied on in that section of their petition is very specifically Skeen's ability to communicate. Under 37 CFR 42104, their failure to cite that, it should be dispositive of the issue that was not properly before the board. Finally, I want to address the motivation to combine point. Whether or not there's substantial evidence, the board's failure to consider all the evidence for the reason it was put forward is sufficient to vacate and remand this issue back to the board for further findings. Maybe the board does find that there is a motivation to combine, but what it did when it determined that there was a motivation to combine in its final written decision as it is currently constituted, the board disregarded patent owner's evidence of desirability. And again, we're not arguing about limiting the field of analogous art. What we're saying is Skeen may have disclosed an onboard recorder, but Skeen's onboard recorder was not functional with the largest piece of the market, the animating piece of the market at the time of the claimed invention. So because it was not functional with heavy trucks, because it was not compatible with heavy trucks, a skilled artisan would not have been motivated to use that specific reference and instead would have opted to find another reference.
You say that the board failed to consider the evidence that you presented. What's the basis for your conclusion that they failed to consider it other than they didn't talk about it?
Your Honor, I think the fact that they did not talk about it is pretty good evidence they failed to consider it.
We probably have, I would guess, twice a month anyway, people that come up here and say, well, the agency failed to consider my evidence. And agencies don't necessarily, in fact, frequently don't talk about every piece of evidence that was in a case. But that doesn't mean they didn't consider it. In fact, we typically assume that the agency, in the absence of an indication to the contrary, such as that the agency says, we're disregarding this evidence, we assume that they considered all the evidence that was before them. So that argument, which we see frequently and does not succeed very frequently, seems to me to need something more than just failure to advert to the evidence.
Let me put a finer point on that argument. It's not just that the agency failed to consider the evidence. I guess that is the high level issue, but drilling down, the agency failed to consider the evidence for the specific purpose it was offered. The agency said, this is analogous art, and we can put these two things together. It's physically possible to combine them. But the agency failed to consider the desirability of the combination, and that's the issue. Whether or not that Skeen could have been combined with Workington, I see I'm out of time. May I respond? Whether or not Skeen could be combined with Workington is one issue, but the central issue here is whether the proposed combination would have been desirable, and that's what the agency didn't consider.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.